The Big Scottish Football Podcast with Stephen Mill and Ewan Cameron.
Hello and welcome to the Big Scottish Football Podcast. I'm Stephen Mill. It's episode 86. Hello, Ewan Cameron. How are you doing this morning?
I'm not too bad, Stephen, but here we are on a bank holiday Monday. I go out my scratcher very early to be here in the studio for the show because we feel as though it's a bank holiday. We need to be here to talk about the weekend's action. So we made the effort, myself and producer John. And yet you, my friend, have literally messed us around.
I've not messed you around.
No, you have, because you made the decision to go to London a day early, and you're broadcasting from London, we are here in Glasgow, and nothing technically was working, and we've just wasted 3 hours of our time, haven't we, producer John?
Yeah, it's been... We got there in the end, though.
Yeah.
So, wait. How's any of this my fault? Like, I'm not technically in charge here.
Just because you want to piss up in London before the awards tomorrow night, you want to go down a wee bit early so you can go for a nice meal tonight. You can go for a few beers before you go to some... Go to a show, go and see a... And then go to the fancy awards event tomorrow night. No. You put your own self... What's the word I'm looking for?
I'm working later on today.
You're recording your show. Shut up.
What are you doing tonight, Stephen?
Aye, what are you doing tonight, Stephen?
Well, I'm going out for a few drinks and some tea, but I mean, that's besides the point. I mean, what I would say is I'm doing the Drive Time show with Gary Spence later on. We are doing that show from London later on. So I don't see what the problem is here. I'm working. In fact, I've had a very long day. I was up at 6 o'clock this morning to get the flight down.
And do you know why I'm really upset? Because myself and producer John have put a lot of effort into this show because obviously we film it for YouTube and it's an audio podcast as well where you can get us on Spotify and Apple Music, etc., etc., etc. But because it can't be filmed today because you're in London, all our plans for the Star Wars weekend that have just gone... it's not going to materialise today.
Well, I'm really glad about that because Star Wars is absolutely gash anyway.
Well, we're going to delay the Star Wars celebration until next Monday when I can be on camera with all my Star Wars masks.
I'm going to be off next Monday, I think.
No, you won't be. I've got a wee message for you from Darth Vader.
You have failed me for the last time, Admiral.
Honestly,
I don't even know what that is. It doesn't mean anything to me. It means absolutely nothing to me.
You are not a Jedi yet.
Nonsense. Is that like something for Star Trek or something?
Don't you dare. That is blasphemy. That's blasphemy.
Was that Spock? That was Spock, wasn't it?
Right. So our Star Wars special for the podcast has been moved to next Monday. So today didn't really happen. But next Monday, it will be a Star Wars special. How was your weekend anyway, Stephen?
Weekend was fine. Yeah, no big sort of things on at the weekend, to be perfectly honest with you. Just the football and, just catching up well with that. Obviously, Friday night, end of the championship. We were on air on the big Saturday football show on Saturday. How was your weekend, Ewan?
My weekend was good.
Yeah.
I was, obviously, with it being officially the Star Wars weekend, with May the 4th being on Saturday, we did have a Star Wars night in my house, which was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned this on the big Saturday football show, actually. So it was myself, Ewan Cameron, and former Hibs and Aberdeen striker Steve Cowan in the studio. And we got on to, you know, just chatting about what we were doing with our sort of respective Saturday nights. And you said that you had a free house, so you were... dressing up as Chewbacca,
yes,
and closing the curtains and watching some interesting stuff on the TV is what you said.
Yes, I was watching The Phantom Menace because the 25 year anniversary of The Phantom Menace.
And you said at one point as well that you and your wife like to dress up as Star Wars characters. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Right. Okay.
But there's nothing wrong with that. I mean,
I'm not kink shaming, but what I would say is the thought of you as Princess Leia is quite disturbing.
No, I've never dressed up as Princess Leia. What I have dressed up as, and you would have seen it today had you been here, I was going to dress up as Kylo Ren today. I also have a Stormtrooper outfit and the Chewbacca onesie, so I was going to do some costume changes for the podcast today, but as I said, we'll delay that for next week, so we'll celebrate Star Wars and everything that's great about Star Wars next Monday when we can film it. So yeah, I watched The Phantom Menace, which was very good. Well, it's not the best Star Wars movie.
Terrible,
I agree with you, John, it's not the best, but because it was the 25th year anniversary of the movie. I sat and watched that which was fine. I also watched a movie that was suggested to me, that was recommended to me by somebody called Sanjita, and the film was called The Thousand Corpses, The House of a Thousand Corpses. It's a Rob Zombie movie. I wouldn't recommend it, so I will not be listening to any more recommendations from Sanjita. I thought it was awful. I don't mind horror. I don't mind gore in my horror, but this was just taking it a bit too far. I last about 45 minutes, 50 minutes? I didn't even get to the hour mark and I had to turn off, so never, never, never watch The House of a Thousand Corpses. It was awful. And because I had an empty, more or less, at the weekend, I went to an event on Saturday night where John McAnally, our producer, was at. It was a Falkirk event, and I was there with all the Falkirk fans. I was there with a couple of Falkirk players as well. What was the name of the Falkirk players we were with?
You were there with Captain Carl Donaldson and Big Sexy Tom Lang.
Yes, two lovely, lovely lads. They've done the Invincible season, so congratulations to them. So I was there with the Falkirk boys, Falkirk fans. And then when I got home, do you know when you get home from the pub or an event, you've got the munchies? Mm-hmm. So on Saturday night, when I got home from that event at the Behind the Wall in Falkirk, I had myself, in front of the telly, a bowl of Frosties. I had a Scotch egg. I had a Twirl. I had barbecue popped crisps and also a bottle of orange juice. I know it sounds a bit
That's
random.
An absolutely horrifying combination.
It does. On paper, it sounds horrific. But when you've been to the pub and you've had a good night out and you're sat in front of the telly, it wasn't too bad. Do you like a wee bowl of Frosties on a Saturday night, sat in your boxer shorts watching the telly?
What order did you eat them in?
Frosties, Scotch egg, popped crisps, Twirl.
So you started off sweet, then went to savoury, then back to sweet.
The thing with Frosties, though, you can't have them sitting there because they're going to get soggy.
Right, okay.
And then I went savoury, savoury, and then I ended with a sweet. So it's sweet, savoury, savoury, sweet. And
you're turning into a monster. I always thought you might have been, and this is just confirmation. I mean, that is absolutely horrific. By the way, you can get in touch anytime on our YouTube page. If you want to leave a comment, then you can do so, and we'll read out the best of the comments next week. It's at Big Football Scott if you want to tweet us as well. Let's get to some correspondence from last week. So Ewan shaving his balls off his clothes last week. The Big Ewan says, when I first heard Ewan talking about shaving his balls and ass, I got to ask, how do you mentally prepare yourself for that, Stephen? And yes, Big Ewan, I was thinking the exact same thing. Key McLeod says, not ready for the Father Ted questions, as he's been shaving his clothes like a psychopath. Pablo said, and actually Pablo wasn't the only person, we got a lot of tweets on this as well, the GML bubble off from Argos is what you're looking for, deluxe. We got lots of recommendations from GML about taking bubbles off clothes, so maybe you can research that if you're shaving your clothes like a maniac. What a coincidence. Derek says, random but true fact, I'm the milkman for Linlithgow, and had just finished Strawberry Bank when it got its little mention last week. Remember I mentioned Strawberry Bank?
Yes,
in Linlithgow?
Yes.
He said the town's a shithole, though. I don't think I quite agree with that. I think Linlithgow's a nice place.
Yeah.
Also, on the quiz, John says, well done, Stephen. Ewan whining again. A perfectly balanced quiz and Ewan law. I mean, I must say, I watched the quiz back last week, and it was amazing, Ewan, because you thought you'd won.
I did.
And you managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, which was amazing.
That's the first time in weeks where I felt like I had this one in the bag. This was going to be my week to do the happy dance like I've never done before. And then to lose it in those circumstances. See, driving home, I was nearly in tears.
It was amazing, though, for me.
It was good for you, yes.
And Michael says, great show, lads. Ewan got pumped in the quiz, nae luck at all. He had it in his grasp at 2-1, but was beaten with a 90th spectacular winner by Stephen in the end. And by the way, you'll never forget what the Edinburgh City nickname is, which is the Citizens, of course. God knows where I pulled that from this week. Davey says, can we just get the Father Ted questions in the bin and focus on the football?
Oh, shut up.
Don't see why there's such a big fuss over these absolute... No need to... I mean, Davey can't write properly, clearly. And he says that Father Ted isn't even that great, so...
Controversial. Controversial.
One of the most successful sitcoms in TV history in the UK. Davey, you're slagging off there. Derek FM, it says, it's time to call the quiz. The last 2 weeks, Ewan has ended the conspiracy, and I was with you, mate. But the last 2 weeks, you've had the same questions and fucked it. So next season, instead of head-to-head quiz with Stephen, why not do Ewan versus? Could put a challenge out to Twitter followers or to one of the many contacts in his phone. He can't beat Stephen, but could he beat the general public?
No.
No, I don't think you could either. Once again, a massive shout out to Andy the Photo Doctor, who's been penning various songs about you and Cameron over the last few weeks. So, I mean, he's got an album's worth now, pretty much. So, Scottish football fans, give him a follow. He's got lots of stuff there as well. And, yeah, there's lots of Jambo Bear tracks out there. Have we got any new ones this week, Producer John? Is there any new ones that
we
can listen
to? Yeah, Andy's went for a kind of pet shop vibes for this week. So, here okay, we go. Right.
Sky, blue and maroon, his passion runs deep for Rangers and Hearts. His love will keep Jambo Bear with colours bold.
It's like a sort of German version, I would say. From Ibrox to Tyne
Castle, he roars. Two teams, one heart. It's like Kev M from Pop Music. Remember that one? I like it. Tell you what, the Doctor's doing well, isn't he, with these tracks?
Lee Addy, I believe, has also followed in his footsteps as well, John.
Very 80s. New romantic type style.
This is all getting very, very odd. Very odd. But I am enjoying it. Any more tracks for Ewan Cameron, the podcast, and Jambo Bear, please get them on at Big Football Scott. That is how you tweet us. Right, let's move on to some of the football from the weekend. In fact, let's start with the PFA Awards, because they were last night, weren't they, Ewan? So it was the big glitzy dinner in Glasgow, and the winners were as follows. So in the Premiership, Lauren Shankland, Player of the Year.
Play
any
the
complaints?
Play the song!
What are the chances?
Play the song!
Gorgon's Eye Castle Park. There's a wee
I was so happy he won Player of the Year. Honestly, he thoroughly deserved it. And let's not forget, there's a lot of punters who are moaning and groaning that he didn't deserve it. Oh, Butland should have got it, or O'Reilly should have got it, and blah, blah, blah. Piss off. See, at the end of the day, forget what you think. This is what the players think. This is somebody that they
play. His peers.
Yeah, his peers. This is somebody that they've played against. They see his work rate off the ball. They see his flex. They see what he does to the team, how he inspires the team, the 28 goals that he scored. His wee flex and everything that he brings to that team. Without him, Hearts don't finish third. His peers, the players that he plays against week in and week out, have witnessed what he does for that club, and there is no doubt about it, he was head and shoulders ahead of every single other player in the Scottish Premiership. It's as simple as that. So get it right up, yes. Well done to Lauren Shankland.
Something I don't say very often, I agree with Ewan Cameron. I think he's a very, very, very deserved winner, Lauren Shankland. He's been the best player in the Premiership this season, and had it gone anywhere else, I think it would have been an absolute disgrace.
Stephen,
well
28
done.
Goals.
I know, totally.
28 goals. And look at his assists as well.
I know, totally. Like, I think he's been far and away the best player in the league this season. So well done to Lauren
Shankland.
Who is
second?
I've got no idea.
I
would say probably Butland.
Well, see, here's my argument with Butland, right? Can I put an argument forward as to why he might not be the second best player in the league?
Well, I'll put forward a very, very quick argument. He's a goalkeeper. So, like, you know.
Yeah, but what I'm going to say about Butland is this. I think he is, without a doubt, Scotland's best goalkeeper. And I don't see him being at Rangers after the summer. I think somebody will come in to get him. I know in the chat was that Nottingham Forest, who are clearly needing a goalkeeper, wanted him in January. Rangers were never going to sell him in January. So I think if they come in with a £15 million bid plus, they will get Butland in the summer. I think Forest still want him and he's still looking for a goalkeeper. But what I would say about Butland is this. Let's say 8-9 times out of 10, Rangers dominate football matches. And yes, when he's called upon when needed, he will make that save. But he's not overworked. I mean, if you were to talk about goalkeepers that are worked and worked relentlessly, someone like at the bottom of the table, like a Mitov or the Motherwell goalkeeper, who've all been very good and they've all had much more work to do than Butland. Do you know what I'm getting at here?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So that's my point with Butland, which is why I probably wouldn't even give him the silver medal. I'd probably give the silver medal to O'Reilly because he had a fantastic start to the campaign. Once the Atletico Madrid rumours came round, he fell off a cliff. But he's back again in the last month or two and he's playing really well and he's outstanding against Hearts at the weekend. So they're probably giving a silver medal to O'Reilly, bronze medal to Butland, and I don't even know why Tavernier is even in the top four for player of the year.
It'll just be the amount of goals that he scored.
Yeah, but then his main job is to defend and he can't do that. And I thought he was awful at the weekend again.
Just to slightly balance that about Butland as well, I mean, yeah, you're right in saying that there's a lot... You know, most of the other goalkeepers in the league are a lot busier than him.
Yes.
But I think it says a lot for his concentration levels that when he is called upon, he can actually make the big saves. And I think that's part of being a goalkeeper at a big team as well. You know, you might not be called into action very often, but when you do, you need to make sure that you're absolutely on it. And I think Butland has had an absolutely terrific season.
No, I think, Stephen, I think you're bang on the money there. But and I think that he would be very unlucky not to get into that Euro squad for England. He's been that good. And yes, you will see a few Premiership clubs banging on the door of Rangers in the summer. Listen, if I'm Rangers, you're going to make a huge profit off this boy. Sell him and then reinvest that money back into the squad. But Butland has been sensational for Rangers this season. And there's no denying that.
The Young Player of the Year Award went to the Prestwick Pirlo, which is David Watson, who has been fantastic for Kilmarnock this season. Yeah. So very, very well deserved there as well. He's got a massive future in the game. And scored some cracking goals this season. I remember the wee weaving run from the halfway line as well. He beat three or four players and then slotted it home. So David Watson, congratulations to him. In terms of the SWPL, Rachel Rowe won it for Rangers, a double for Rangers actually, because the Young Player of the Year went to Mia McCauley as well, so congratulations to Rachel and Mia. In the Championship, Brian Graham, at the grand old age of 427, picked up the Best Player in the Championship Award. And I tell you what, like, Brian Graham, I think for years and years and years, is just a really, really good striker at Championship level. I know he's played in the Premiership as well, but obviously he's been at Ross County, he's been all over the place, but Partick Thistle over the past few years have relied on him so much for goals. And you know, I was trying to think of, like, Championship players of the year. Obviously Dundee United won the league, but there was no big standouts. I know Craig Sibbald won the United Player of the Year, like their own award, so maybe him. Louis Malk scored loads of goals. Yeah. But you expect Louis Malk to score loads of goals. He's getting loads of money as well, I would imagine. But I think Brian Graham, nobody's really going to argue with that. And I think the fact, as you said right at the start about Lauren Shankland, it's the fellow players who are voting for him.
Correct.
So I think Brian Graham, well-deserved there. In League One as well, Callum Morrison, even though he can't spell his name properly, he has been outstanding. John, you can come in on this one. Obviously, you're the Falkirk fan.
Yeah,
so
that's really unbelievable. He's picked up all the players.
How old is Callum Morrison?
Callum, I think it's about 26 now.
26. So he's 26, yeah. He's coming on for his peak now. Do you think there'll be bigger clubs sniffing around Morrison?
Do you know what? I was very surprised that he actually signed a new contract at the club. He was out of contract in the summer, and I actually thought, and I think all Falkirk supporters went, listen, he goes with our blessing, because he's been there 4 years. You know, he's been in some terrible teams but stood out, and then this season he's just kicked on. Like, you know, he's the top scorer in SPFL at the moment. We'll see if Shanklin can beat him, but he's been outstanding, and he's signed a new 2-year deal at Falkirk.
That's surprising.
Yeah, so if we can get money from next summer, I'm sure he'll end up. I was very surprised, like a Motherwell or a St Johnstone or what, you know, that kind of level, St Mirren.
So John, I'm not trying to, you know, sort of like do him down here, but What's the reason he's still at Falkirk? Like, he's 26 years old. He's, even when he was in the Championship, when, you know, as you said, they're in some absolutely guff Falkirk teams and playing in League One for the last 5 years or whatever. Is he inconsistent? Is he frustrating?
No,
you know, like,
absolutely
what's he lacking?
I've got the answer to that question.
What?
And don't take this the wrong way, John. And Falkirk fans listening, don't take this the wrong way. But he's coming out of League One. Not a very good league. Not very good opposition. Is anyone going to take a gamble on someone who's come out of League One? Now, when you look at Falkirk, who have been invincible this season, nobody's banging on your door to sign your centre-halves. No one's banging on your door to sign your midfielders. No one's banging on your door to sign the strikers. Is it because the other clubs who are playing at a better level are looking at it and going, I don't take a gamble on these players?
I don't think that's the case.
But do you know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, I know. I'm
just putting out there reasons why none of your better players will be sold or will be. Nobody will be gunning after them.
He's just signed a new contract at the club. I think it'll make him one of the highest probably paid players at the club.
Right.
And apparently, from what I've heard, he just, you know, there was a lot of interest in January in him. Linfield were very, very close to signing him. But from what I've heard is he just loves being at the club. He loves having his name sung. And he's a star. He's a star
player.
He's
a star man, right? So if he goes somewhere else, he's not going to get that.
He might end up in, if he went to a Motherwell or a St. Mirren, he might end up just being a squad player. But at Falkirk,
he's the
main man.
Yeah.
Gregor Buchanan winning Player of the Year for Stenhouse Muir in League 2. Again, he's been about a bit. He's been at Falkirk, been at Dunfermline. He was at Dumbarton, I think, as well.
What's he like, Stephen?
He had we finished 7th in League 1 when he was playing at second half.
When he was at Falkirk as well, I think we finished 6th.
yeah, exactly. So, I mean, listen, Stenhouse Muir had a cracking season, and Gregor Buchanan, you know, like, he's maybe matured since then. Or he clearly has, because he's obviously had a great season with Stenny, so congratulations to him. And of course, the Manager of the Year went to Falkirk's John McGlynn as well. Now, John, I know you're probably expecting me to come on and absolutely, like, hammer this decision.
After the discussion in WhatsApp yesterday, I'm absolutely ready for it.
But listen, I've slept on it. I've slept on it last night. And I think John McGlynn's a good guy. I do think John McGlynn's a good guy. I genuinely believe that. And I actually think the job that he's done at Falkirk has been absolutely tremendous. Because what he's done is, you know, put this in context, right? He has taken what is effectively a mid-table League One team and turn them into champions. And, you know, like, you know, you're laughing there. Obviously, last season, you obviously finished, 17 points behind Dunfermline or something like that. But I don't want to sort of dwell on that, because you did finish second and you had a decent season. But then the years before John McGlynn came in, he's finished 5th and 6th. And I've actually got the points totals for this as well.
I knew this was coming, right? Come
on. So it was 32 points, 44 points, and then last season you got 67 points.
How many
points
did we get this season?
And then 90 points this season.
And so how many points did Dunfermline get last season, Stephen?
I have got absolutely no idea.
That's funny that you've not got that information to hand.
No, it's just...
Because this is about Falkirk, if truth be told.
Of course it is. I'm talking about Falkirk, exactly. And, you know, I'm not going to go down the route of saying, you know, you're playing in a league without Dunfermline or Airdrie or Partick or Raith or Queens or Queen's Park or anything like that, or you're, you know, up against a Hamilton side who's managed by John Rankin, or a Cove side that's managed by Paul Hartley or anything, or a Marvin Bartley, Queen of the South, who've had an absolute shocker this season, and then loads of part-time teams. I'm not going to go down that route, but I'm going to say congratulations to John McGlynn. Just to clarify, this is John McGlynn's second PFA Manager of the Year award. The last time he won it was in season 2010-2011, where he managed to get his Raith Rovers side to second place in the Championship, finishing 10 points behind the champions, Dunfermline, of course. And that means...
Was that not the season that he shat it?
Yeah, it was, of course. Yeah. But it was... This means that John McGlynn now has more Manager of the Year awards than the likes of Walter Smith, the likes of Brendan Rodgers.
No way.
And, you know, I don't want to pee all over the PFA and their decision-making, because, again, it's voted for by his fellow managers. But there's two decisions. And to be fair, if you're looking at the nominees, and I know we'll get onto this, and Ewan, you made a great point about Tony Docherty at the weekend, which I didn't even realise. I think we widely accepted that Tony Docherty's done a really good job at Dundee. But how many games have they won in the league this season, Ewan?
10.
They've won 10 matches season, and he's up for manager of the season, I should say. Derek McInnes, done a great job at Kilmarnock, there's no doubt about that. But you know, you look at who else, like Hibs are having a nightmare, Aberdeen are having a nightmare, you know, so like Kilmarnock are well placed to go into a fourth place. Not saying that he hasn't done a good job. But I think, for me,
Stephen, when you look at Tony Dock being nominated for manager of the year and he's only had 10 wins in the league all season, then you have to then put, there's a strong case then for Rhys McCabe-Airdrie, who was a promoted side from League One.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's got them into the playoffs, playing fantastic football, and I think they've got half a chance to get into the Premier League. So if Tony Dock is getting a nomination because it's a newly promoted team getting him into top six, and surely Rhys McCabe is also in that conversation.
Stephen Robinson's an arse.
By Ian Murray at Raith Rovers.
Yeah.
Jim Goodwin at Dundee United, you know, like all these boys.
The more I look at it, the more I don't think Tony Dock deserved his manager of the year
nomination.
I don't think he deserved it. When you look at other, like your Rhys McCabe's of this world. See that job that Rhys McCabe has done at Airdrie is outstanding. And I think that they're in with a decent chance of getting to the playoff final. And you never know what might happen then. But yeah, initially I was shouting from the rooftops with Tony Dock. I like him. I like the way he conducts himself in the media. But then when you actually look at it, when you get into the detail of their season, they've scraped into the top six. They've got 10 wins, and that's maybe partly down because everyone else around them has been pish, but you can only beat what's in front of you. So congratulations on reaching the top six. It's a fantastic achievement. Manager of the Year contender, probably not now in light of what we know and the detail of it. I think.
Are you just saying that because of the result of the weekend? Is that kind of suddenly?
I kind of looked at the league table and I looked at their goals for, goals against, and I looked. I thought, I was like, they've only won 10 games all season. They're a newly promoted side.
Yeah,
fair play to them. But is it manager of the year contender type?
John McGuinn is the obvious choice. For the reason that I will ask you the question, how many clubs, and now this is going when Rangers were going through the leagues, they didn't go, they only went unbeaten in League One, right? They didn't go unbeaten in League Two or the Championships. Hearts, when they were down in the Championship, didn't go unbeaten.
Only one club,
of Rangers and Celtic in Scotland in over a 30-plus season has went unbeaten, and that's Falkirk FC. So John McGuinn, take the award. Well done, sir.
As you well know, John, I've got a lot of time for John McGuinn. I remember him when he was at Hearts, and I interviewed him on numerous occasions. Lovely, lovely guy. Every player that's ever worked with him love John McGuinn, mm-hmm. right? They've got a lot of respect for the boy, and I hope I'm not breaking any sort of confidence here, but I was down the stairs at behind the wall speaking to your two centre halves for a good hour or so, and they were telling me what he was like in the dressing room, what he's like as an individual, as a man manager. Those two boys absolutely adore John McGuinn. The players adore John McGuinn. Even the ones who are now getting picked week in and week out know what the job is. They know that they've got a great manager there. They understand where they stand with them and what their position is within the club. And whether you're getting on for 5 minutes or whether you're not even starting, they're giving their all for the manager because they want to do what's do best for him. So my issue with him getting the Manager of the Year award is went unbeaten in a league that is not the best.
It's shite, Ewan. It's a shite league, is what you're trying to say.
By the way, John, if it was that easy for Dunfermline haven't done it, I'm winding me up. I'm leaving the studio now and Stephen's going to say something right now. No, I'm not. Listen, what I would say, right,
is that Falkirk going unbeaten is an achievement. Of course it is. If you go a full season unbeaten, of course it's an achievement. But let's not sit here and pretend that that's a particularly strong League One. It's absolutely not. It's a really poor League One, even compared with last season. You know, with Airdrie, with Dunfermline.
100%.
Even the season before that, when you had like... part it. You had Queen's Park and all the rest of it. And you know, how come Dunfermline haven't done it? Because, like, Dunfermline have been in League One when Rangers were in League One.
Stephen, like, I'm going to tell you something now.
Sorry, just to finish that, Ewan. It's obviously not Falkirk's fault who else is in the league. Like, I totally accept that. You can only beat what's in front of you. But it's, I think, to go back to what Ewan was saying earlier on, there's nobody banging down the door to appoint John McGlynn. There's nobody banging down the door to sign all the Falkirk players because they know that it's a really weak League One, probably the worst League One that there's ever been.
I agree.
So if you hadn't won the league this season after half a decade of being down as well, after half a decade of being down, and listen, I know you tried really hard last year, but obviously Dunfermline were in the league, and it's really hard to beat a big team like that. But no, I'm winding you up, but. Genuinely, and I would say this about Dunfermline as well, I think winning League One, if you're Falkirk or if you're Dunfermline or even if you're Partick Thistle, it's not much of an achievement. You should be winning League One if you're either one of those teams.
Going invincible is Stephen.
John.
I think it's an absolute
achievement. If it was Dunfermline that had done it last season, and now you were only one game away from doing it, you would have been on here.
But
it was a better week last year.
Invincible T-shirt.
It was a much stronger league.
Yeah, as much as I love to wind up Stephen, and as much as he does my head in sometimes. But I think he's right. That league last year with Airdrie, Falkirk, etc. was a much better league. And another thing I want to say as well, your two centre-halves, who are lovely, lovely lads, good players, did a great job this season, even they would admit that that was a breeze for them. They would admit it.
They actually said it on stage
and they had the cigars out in a lot of your games.
And you know what? Just to sort of round this off, you know, obviously unbeaten season for Falkirk, John McGlynn manager of the year. You've got players who are, you know, like Callum Morrison, who are picking up awards as well. I just hope you take this overconfidence into the Championship and get relegated straight away. So,
confidence, right? I will say it right now on this podcast, Falkirk will finish above Dunfermline next season.
No chance.
Absolutely.
I don't think so, mate.
Absolutely. No. I'll put it down there, record it, clip it. There we go.
Okay, right. Well, we'll see what happens this time.
I'd love to see just to see Stephen melt down, I just don't see it.
See this time next year, we're still recording the podcast. I'll be like Kevin Keegan. I love it.
Anyway, let's move. I'm not getting involved with these sort of diddy teams that are just getting promoted and stuff like that. Let's move on to the Premiership and chat about what happened on Saturday. Livingston officially relegated, much to the delight of Ewan Cameron, and it was a 4-1 defeat at Motherwell that finally sealed their fate. We'll get into VARWTF in just a wee second. I know David Martindale was not happy about a couple of things there, but just 2 losses in 8 for Motherwell now. Theo Bear has scored about 55 goals or something this season as well. St Johnson absolutely spewing, and Livingston will be playing Championship football next season. You said it all along, Ewan Cameron, this was Livingston's year to go down.
I've had a bit of fun at the expense of Livingston over the last 3, 4, 5 years, but I've got to take my hat off to them. The club have been in the top flight of Scottish football for 6 seasons, and whatever you think of them as a football club, whatever you think of their style of football, whatever you think of their pitch and their lack of fans, you've got to take your hat off to them and respect what they have done, and David Martindale's done a fabulous job there. But it was always going to happen. At some point in not too distant future, this day was going to happen. And they've gone. And they've gone down to the Championship. I know that Martindale earlier in the week was talking about how they've already signed 3 players on a pre-contract. I don't see Livingston ever getting back into the Premiership. I think that's it for them. They're more likely to go to League One than they are to come up to the Premiership. I think they're going to be stuck in a Championship for a season or two and end up in League One at some point in their future as well, just because they don't have the fan base or the resources or the finances to be competitive again. There's going to be better clubs in the Championship. For example, Falkirk, Dunfermline, Partick Thistle, Raith Rovers, possibly St Johnson if they were to come down. So they're gone, and that's it. I don't think they'll ever be back in the Premiership. And fair play to them. They've done well. But Yeah, I'm not crying. Yeah. I'm not crying seeing them gone.
Of course you're not, because you've got an anti-West Lothian agenda, as we, as we've mentioned a few times on this podcast. So Livingston playing Championship football next season. Motherwell officially safe after that result as well, obviously. Ross County beating Hibs by 2-1. Ross County at home under Doncowie are a very, very decent side, you and Cameron.
Yeah, 3 games at home in their final 4, and because of their home record, I said to you last week, I expect Ross County to jump ahead of St Johnstone, and St Johnstone will be in the relegation playoff. And it's just proved me right from what I was saying last week. There they are, 1-0 down against Hibs. They come back to win by 2-1, and they deserve the victory as well. They're going to be fine, and Doncowie's done a great job there. Now, I don't know if Doncowie's going to be the man to take them forward next season. That time will tell, but they will be a Premiership club next year, and it'll be St Johnstone that will be in the playoff. So well done to him. And what about Simon Murray, the goals he's scoring?
19 goals for Simon Murray, which is incredible. I mean, he's always had an eye for goal, I would say, Simon Murray, even back in his Arbroath days when he was at Hibs, when he was at Dundee United as well. So yeah, like, cracking season for him. Malida scoring for Hibs, who I know you like as well, yeah. Ewan, but we'll see what happens with him next season.
Is Montgomery safe?
I mean, last week I made a very sort of like stout defence of him, but that result on Saturday, I know you can't sort of like come and go like the wind, but I think they should stick with him. I think they should give him the summer, give him pre-season, let him get some players in, and because I think there's the basis of a decent team there at Hibs. It's just that, you know, at the end of the day, they have nothing to play for. They're safe.
I heard a rumour.
About?
One of the Hibs players.
Uh-huh.
Hanlon could be joining Falkirk.
I think there's him and Lewis Stevenson have been attracting attention from the likes of Falkirk, the likes of Raith Rovers as well, I believe, and maybe another few other Championship teams. That's what I was hearing over the weekend.
Are you hearing rumours circulating around your club and them going there?
No, I haven't heard much about that. So we'll just need to wait and see. We'll get to that in just a wee second, though. Ross County 2, Hibs 1. So St Mirren, Stephen Robinson's 100th game in charge of St Mirren ended in a 3-1 win against Dundee. St Mirren look like they're on their way to European football for the first time in 37 years. So
phenomenal.
Congratulations to St Mirren and Stephen Robinson. Cracking job they have done there. And we've already spoken about Tony Docherty, obviously. Dundee are going to finish 6th by the looks of it in that top 6 there. Elsewhere on Saturday, Celtic 3, Hearts 0. Yet another shiting of the pants when it came to the Jambos turning up in Glasgow.
Shut up, whoa. You take that back. We beat Celtic 2-0 earlier in the season at Parkhead. So
I'm talking recently.
Right, I don't give a shit about recently. You made it sound
5-0 against Rangers, right, two semi-final defeats as well. Okay. And then on Saturday, just another pathetic performance, really, you know?
I thought Celtic were outstanding at the weekend. They are ticking at the right time. Hatate, O'Reilly, McGregor in midfield are the best midfield in Scottish football. When you look at that Celtic team, their best 11, which I think it nearly was it. I think it was their best 11. Yeah, probably was. The only player that gets in that team from the Rangers squad is Butland. That's how good Celtic are. Would you agree or disagree with that? Is there anyone else from that Rangers team getting in that Celtic team that started against Hearts? Is there anyone in their defence, in their midfield? No.
No, I don't think so.
You could maybe argue Scales for Souter, possibly, or not.
You mean Liam Scales, who's just signed a new 4-year contract?
I'm just trying to find who else might break into that Celtic team out of the Rangers squad.
I don't know. I don't know. I think it's hard to judge.
Butland would.
Butland would.
But so my point here is that Celtic are ticking. They have got the best 11 in Scottish football. They have got the best squad in Scottish football. I thought they were very, very good. I thought O'Reilly was outstanding again. He's just getting better and better since his wee wobble after the January transfer window. He's a really good player. I know there are some that are questioning whether or not he has the pace and work rate to play in the Premiership. Time will tell on that, but I do think that Celtic will do well to hold on to him in the summer. Hatate just makes Celtic a much better team. And see McGregor, that boy, I mean, I know he was unfit a couple of weeks ago. he's like, as if it's the start of the season again. He was outstanding at the weekend. That's good news for Scotland because he's getting back into the pace, and he was just, I mean, he just ran things in the midfield. He was outstanding.
Yeah, so it finished 3-0 to Celtic against Hearts. Hearts' season kind of petering out, let's be honest. I mean, I guess it's job done. You know, they're going to finish third and they just need to look forward to next season. They've already started with their signings for next season, of course, as well. Aberdeen 1, St Johnstone 0. As we mentioned, St Johnstone mega, mega struggling now. Peter Leaven wasn't in the dugout. He was having some emergency surgery, I believe, on Friday night. So best wishes to him. I hope he's back very, very soon. And in the meantime, it was a cast of thousands that were in the Aberdeen dugout, but they led them to a 1-0 win. It was a penalty, Miofsky from the penalty spot. St Johnstone, are you making them favourites for 11th place?
Yes, 100%. I just don't see how they don't finish 11th. Ross County's home form will keep them in the league. They won't have to worry about players. St Johnstone are gone under Craig Levein. But is there anyone in the Championship going to beat St Johnstone over two legs? For me, I wouldn't rule out Airdrie.
I think
If they were to get to the final against St Johnstone,
Airdrie, the problem with Airdrie is they've lost their last couple of matches, and I don't know if they've just ran out of steam at the wrong time. I know they've not got much to play for the last couple of games.
That's
what I was saying.
That's the point,
like,
Stephen. Is their head on that playoffs now? Or are they thinking about the playoffs? I know you want momentum and you want victories and you want to be playing well. I just think they might just turn it on for the playoffs. I think they're waiting for that.
They've not won in three, Airdrie. No. Partick Thistle, obviously, they lost against Dundee United on Friday night as well. And
what do you think, Stephen? Does St Johnstone stay up if they're the relegation playoff team? Because they can't score goals.
I don't know. I think it's going to be really, really tight.
I
think if Ross County end up finishing 11th, I think they'll be fine, but I can't tell with St Johnstone. Right, on to yesterday. Finished Rangers 4, Kilmarnock 1. Obviously, lots of VAR chat. We'll get to that in just a wee second. Kilmarnock will be absolutely spewing that they were 1-0 in front, obviously get the man sent off and that changes the entire game. We'll chat about the actual decision in just a wee bit, but obviously Rangers came roaring back and managed to score a few goals, which, you know, after Celtic winning 3-0 on Saturday, it was important to rack up a few goals as well so that the goal difference, and I think there's 5 in it at this stage, but it was important to score a few goals yesterday for Rangers as well.
Yeah, they had 40 shots on goal, so yeah, they got 4. They'd have liked to have got a couple more to eat into the Celtic's goal difference. So Celtic have got 5, there's 5 better off than Rangers. So so the weekend ended the way it started.
Yeah, exactly.
There was no change in that. I thought Rangers were all right. They had 40 shots on goal, but
I mean, they were playing against 10 men for 70 minutes.
But my point is this. When you see the stats, right, you'd be thinking, oh my God, Rangers must have been sensational. They're battering them and this and that. And I watched the game, all 90 minutes of it, and I just wasn't that impressed with Rangers. Yeah, they've won by 4-1. Yes, they're still in there with a chance to win the league. They're going to have to go to Celtic Park at the weekend and win and then hope that Kilmarnock might do them a favour the following week when Celtic go to Rugby Park. I think the job that Clement has done there has been nothing short than remarkable. I mean, they were in an absolute...
You gave the title to Celtic in September.
And I'm going to be right. but because I just thought the Celtic would ultimately run away with it. And they really should have done, because if we just discussed there, Celtic have easily got the better squad and the better 11. I just think that Rangers under Clement, with what he's had to work with, has been outstanding. They haven't been great. They haven't been free-flowing, but they've got over the line in games. They've kept in touch with Celtic. And if we're going to be honest, if they get the points at Dundee and Ross County when you expect them to, they're in front of Celtic just now. They're going to look back on this season and think of it as a missed chance, because I don't think Celtic will be as bad as they were this year going into next season under Brendan Rodgers. Rodgers will get the players that he wants in the summer, and he'll get them playing the way that he wants them to play. I think he was picking up from the Ange Postecoglou era, which is a difficult one to do because it's a completely different style of football. But I think Rangers have missed a golden opportunity here. I really do. That result against Dundee and Ross County will ultimately kill them. And they're going to miss out on the league, because I just can't see them beating Celtic at Parkhead on Saturday. I just don't see it.
We'll come to that game in just a wee second, but just very quickly on Kilmarnock. They'd only lost two of the last 19 going into that game. They've had a terrific season, Kilmarnock. They will be playing European football next season, which is obviously fantastic. Derek McInnes, we've said it all before. With the game yesterday, I mean, Derek McInnes, you know, we'll talk about the decision in just a wee second, but they must have been thinking it. 1-0 up with 11 men, you know, they would have fancied their chances of getting something for that game.
Yeah. And you know why? Because all the pressure's on Rangers. Mm-hmm. And the Rangers fans were getting a wee bit agitated as well. So yeah, we're 11 men on the pitch. Who knows what would have happened yesterday? And the other thing I've got to say about McInnes, and also similar to Robinson, who's at St Mirren, two really good managers who have done phenomenal jobs this season. And when there's a League One side or a Championship side down south looking for a new manager, because there's going to be a merry-go-round in the summer, there's no doubt about it, there will be a few clubs down south that will have McInnes and they'll have Nicholson on their shortlist to come down south. So it'll be interesting
Nicholson?
To see what... Robinson. Nicholson scored for Motherwell the weekend.
He's Sam Nicholson, yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
Robinson and
Barry and Nicholson, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think McInnes and Robinson will
Jack
be
Jack Nicholson,
Robinson, sharp you prick! Robinson and McInnes will be on the short list of clubs down south because of what they've done this year.
Yeah, I think Jack Nicholson will be in high demand over the summer.
John, John, you're the producer of the show.
You said it, not me.
Listen. Right. We all make mistakes in life, right? And
no,
my
right.
job here is to speak, and I can't be clear and concise all the time. We all make mistakes, and you're very good at picking up on any wee mistake that I make, and you run with it, and you rip the piss, and it's doing my box in. So, producer John, produce. Tell the boy who's in London, who couldn't be arsed being here today, and we can't be on YouTube because of him, you want to just tell him to shut his mouth and move on and stop highlighting mistakes that I make, because see, when he does that, it does my fucking block in.
Stephen, he's in a grump today. Can you just leave him alone?
You could have had Bill Nicholson.
Who's Bill Nicholson?
Did he not play with Tottenham? I think he played with Tottenham.
Is there not a
He's Scottish. Oh, no, is he Scottish? No, he's not Scottish.
Is there not a Nicholson that did Neighbours as well? Barry Nicholson, we've mentioned.
We've mentioned Barry Nicholson. There's a darts player called Paul Nicholson.
Very good. Do you want to move on to the next game? Let's move on to the Championship.
I was actually going to talk about just very quickly on Celtic versus Rangers next week. We've just touched on it there.
Yeah.
A wee bit of worry words. Breaking out between Brendan Rodgers and Clement, because Rodgers said on Saturday that they're going to have a bit of fun next week, and Clement was saying, no, we're going to have a bit of fun next week. So it's all getting a wee bit tasty, because I mean, I guess a draw's fine for Celtic. I mean, they'd be delighted with a draw, but they know that if they win next week, that's the title pretty much done.
Yes.
You know, barring goal difference and all the rest of it, which obviously is not going to come into it if they win. But Rangers, again, if they win, then it's all back on, and then we're just right down to the wire.
Right. From a neutral's point of view, this is what you want to happen.
Norman Nicholson? I don't know.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Right. What you want to happen on Saturday, from a neutral's point of view, for it to go right down to the wire and have another helicopter Sunday situation, is that you want Rangers to win on Saturday, and then on the Tuesday when Rangers play Dundee, Rangers batter Dundee, and it's the same goal difference as Celtic before they play Kilmarnock, and then it goes down to a shootout for who scores the most goals in the final day of the season.
That's what you want to happen.
Celtic would be at home to, is it St Mirren?
Yes.
And Hearts are at home to Rangers. So you want it to be more or less same points, and there's maybe even like one goal in it for goal difference, and then it's just a shootout to see who scores the most goals to win the league. Now, that would be a sensational end to the season, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Andy Nicholson was the original bass player for the Arctic Monkeys. Listen to this, John. You'll enjoy this.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
He left the Arctic Monkeys in 2006. What a bad time to leave the Arctic Monkeys.
I'm not too sure if he left or he was... Who cares? Asked to leave the band.
Who cares?
And then
they had one song. Who cares?
That's not true. Arctic Monkeys. They had one song. Arctic Monkeys, one of the most successful British bands of the century, I'll have you
right.
know.
Name me more than one song.
Fake Tales of San Francisco. Brainstorm. Got to number one.
What's the one where they do the dance floor one?
I bet you look good in the dance floor.
That's a big one, isn't it?
Mardy Bum.
Who?
That's another song. Anyway, Andy Nicholson, he left and then he founded Reverend and the Makers.
Nobody cares.
So there you are. Right, let's move on to the championship then, since Ewan keeps bringing up people called Nicholson. So it finished on Friday night. Dundee United champions, lifting the trophy at Tannadice, 4-1 win against Partick Thistle. They will be playing Premiership football next season. Finished there, United 3, Dunfermline 3. There was a nasty incident with Dennis Mehmet, the Dunfermline goalkeeper. He collapsed with just 5 minutes to go on the clock, and there was a bit of a panic. But he's all right, he's fine. He got tests in hospital, and he was recovering at home. But apparently the Dunfermline physio and medical team, and the same with the air, they just ran on the pitch. I wasn't at the match, but there was a bit of a scare there. So a bit of a thriller to end of the season in terms of the goals, though. 3-3 between Ayr United and Dunfermline. So Dunfermline finishing in sixth place and Ayr United finishing in seventh. I should have mentioned Partick Thistle finishing third, obviously, and Dundee United first. Inverness will be in the relegation playoff. They'll be taking on Montrose this week. That was despite beating Morton by 3-1 at home, so at least they go into it on the back of a victory. They're finishing in ninth place. Morton finished fifth. Queen's Park escaped the relegation playoff by beating Airdrie 2-0 at home, so they finish eighth and they are safe. Raith Rovers rounding off their best season in a long, long time by beating Arbroath by 5-0. Arbroath obviously relegated about a month ago now. Inverness, are they staying up, Ewan? Taking on Montrose, and then obviously it's Hamilton Alloa in the other playoff.
What I will say is that two players that I met on Saturday night who have a better understanding of League One than I do say that Inverness will comfortably stay in the Championship.
Okay, right. League One, Falkirk, obviously, as we've mentioned, completing their invincible season.
Invincible Falkirk, you need to say that every time you mention Falkirk now, Stephen. Invincible Falkirk.
Oh, piss off with that chat.
No, I'll say it just to keep him happy. Invincible Falkirk, so they were unbeaten this season, and that's what, half a decade it's taken them to get out of League One, and there they are lifting the trophy on Saturday after their third draw in a row, yet another dodgy late penalty and equaliser. Late on for Falkirk.
There was nothing dodgy about that penalty.
To snatch a draw late on,
Stephen,
to complete their unbeaten season.
Stephen, you're talking about dodgy penalties. Mm-hmm. You know the centre half, Colin Collinson?
Cole Nicholson, he's the
Cole Nicholson, yeah.
Their centre half. When I was on stage with him on Saturday night, I asked him the question about the Edinburgh City last second penalty when they were 2-1 down.
By the way, that was a joke.
He admitted it was a dive.
Of course it was a dive. Everybody knew it was a dive.
Yeah. That's how they're unbeaten, because they had to cheat their way to it.
they had to cheat their way to get a draw against Edinburgh City, who finished the season with 8 points. So there we are. Falkirk scraping a draw against Alloa. Alloa going at the playoffs. They'll take on Hamilton. Elsewhere, Montrose in the playoffs off the back of a win as well. 3-2 winners against Queen of the South. Hamilton also into the playoffs. 4-1 winners against Celtic Hearts on Saturday. A wee side note for Hamilton. They finished the game on Saturday with 11 academy players on the pitch. So that is quite something. 11 players that have come through the Hamilton Academy finishing the game for Hamilton in a 4-1 win against Celtic. And Cove Rangers rounded off what's been a kind of miserable season for them, let's be honest. 3-1 winners against Edinburgh City. And the big one at the bottom, it was between Annan and Stirling Albion for getting into that relegation playoff. And it finished a 1-1 draw, which suited Annan down to the ground. And Stirling will be in the relegation playoff. Annan came back from the dead, though. They look dead and buried in that relegation playoff spot, and they've gone on an absolutely tremendous running form. They're unbeaten in the last four matches as well, only lost one of the last six, and a great run before that as well. So Annan survive in League One, and Stirling go into the playoffs. Obviously Edinburgh City, they are relegated. Let's move on to our reporter for League Two for the final time this season. Let's hand over to the President of the United States. It's Mr. Joe Biden.
Ewan and Stephen, what final day in League Two? Petr Yanel's second spot with a win over Dumbarton, as Spartan avoided the League One team in the semis with a last gasp winner at East Fife. Stranraer are going to be playing East Kilbride in the playoffs despite beating the champions, as Clyde battered Elgin 3-0 up in the Highlands. Well done, Jobby McCall. Dick has gone limp after for defeats for his East Fife side in a row, with the latest loss from Spartans. Von Erich Rose finished the season thumping the Bridie Lovers Forfar. Well, that's me for the season and might be the last time I speak to you boys unless you want me to League One as I follow the mighty Warriors up the league. Of course, I also might die between now and the start of next season as I am very old. Smell you later. God bless League Two and God bless America.
Thank you, Mr. Joe Biden. Well done, Joe.
Wow,
let's move on and do some refereeing decisions, shall we? La gente está muy loca. What the fuck? So Sweden might not be having VAR, but we definitely have it in Scotland. So let's look back on the VAR decisions from the weekend. Celtic 3, Hearts 0. Kyogo offside for the first goal. Ewan Cameron, you were adamant. You were adamant that he was offside, but he wasn't offside. Or have they guessed? What do you think?
To begin with, I thought he was offside a mile. And then my impression was that VAR guessed that he was onside, but then when you have a close-up of Xander Clark's foot in between the legs of Kyogo.
Yeah, there we go.
Kyogo. So his foot was keeping Kyogo onside. So
you just
was
managed to say it right three times in a row.
Yeah,
I think a wee round of applause.
Yeah, all right, okay. I was concentrating while I did that.
I knew you were. Right, let's move on to the handball by Shanklin for the penalty. No complaints really there.
He's playing volleyball, mate.
Yeah, exactly. So that was the two decisions in that match. Nothing much doing in Dundee versus St Mirren.
Nah.
Motherwell Livingston. So the handball for Devlin for Motherwell's penalty.
100%.
It's what I think it's one of those ones he's a bit unlucky.
Oh,
I don't,
shot.
No. And let me explain my reasoning. I don't like his hand's in a natural position. I think he's sort of he's steadying himself, and it's come from quite a short distance.
Really?
I think it's a bit unlucky, but you know what? I'm not getting into the handball debate again because it's just a nonsense. So it was given, and I can see why it was given.
Okay.
Livingston goal chopped off for a foul on Paul McGinn. Do you think they were unlucky there?
No.
Okay. Ross County 2, Hibs 1, nothing much happening there. Aberdeen St Johnson, so it was Andy Considine for a foul on Devlin. Not overturned by VAR. Was it correct?
No.
You think it should have been overturned?
Say that again. The Aberdeen game, which incident we're talking about?
The penalty that Miowski scored from.
Oh, no, that's a penalty. Sorry.
Okay.
No, it's a penalty.
Right.
Sorry.
Okay. And then we get to the Rangers game, and there was about 55 VAR checks inside inside the opening 15 minutes. So in Daba, the handball, the VAR monitor check, David Dickinson goes across and sticks with his on-field decision.
And rightly so. There was nothing controversial about it at all. Well done to the referee.
Okay, and then Joe Wright sending off for the handball, and obviously Joe Wright saved the penalty, so it didn't really matter in the end, but obviously Joe Wright was sent off for that. There was a check on offside just before it as well, and I think, Ewan, you're the IFAB expert here. I believe you're going to tell me that David Dickinson got this absolutely spot on.
He got
VAR did, I should say, Stephen Kirkland.
Yeah, 100%. He got it right. I have a couple of sources who are former referees who I was speaking to yesterday about that particular decision, and he had no choice but to send the player off because Joe Wright's right arm, he does lift it up and he kind of like flicks it away from the goal, which was to be a certain goal. And
I don't know about that.
But can I, and let me just read out the rules. Okay.
No, I accept the rules, but for those listening,
I'm going to stop for your benefit. It's for those listening who might think it wasn't a send off. Let me read out the rules.
I don't think Joe Wright meant to handball
it's
that.
It's irrelevant.
Let me finish. I was saying, I know it's irrelevant. I don't think he meant it. There's nothing. He stops the ball going in, so obviously
his arm comes out.
But I don't think he means it in any way whatsoever. I think he's really unlucky. But it has to be a penalty, and you're about to read out the rule, which means it had to be a sending off as well.
Here's the rule. Where a player denies the opposing team a goal or an obvious goal-scoring opportunity by a handball offence, the player is sent off wherever the offence occurs.
Yeah. I mean, so by the rules of the game, it's 100% a sending off and it's a correct decision.
Yeah.
The only thing I sort of brought up yesterday was whether, you know, it feels like Kilmarnock are getting punished twice there, because not only are, you know, the Rangers getting a penalty, they're also playing against 10 men for the rest of the game. But by the rules of the game, it was the correct decision. I think that Joe, I think that Joe Wright was unlucky there. I think he was really unlucky to be sent off, to be honest with you, because he knew nothing about it. Yes, it stopped the ball going in, so it has to be a penalty. But, you know, it's not like he was saving it on the line. You know what
I
mean?
But see, here's the thing, though, and I think the reason why the rule is, when it comes to what is deemed, whether deliberate or not, when you stop the goal from happening, is that you have to then send the player off. Why? Because you've got a chance to save it and keep yourself in the game, which is exactly what happened. So I think he has to go for that reason.
No, I get that if he deliberately did it. Like, you know what I mean? If he deliberately handled the ball, then absolutely.
But Stephen, I think instinct moved his arm in that direction because he knew what was coming.
I don't think subconsciously,
I think he's done it. I genuinely think, if you watch that from behind the goal, he lifts his arm and he flicks it.
I'm not having that. But anyway, I said that Joe Wright saved the penalty earlier on. Joe Wright did not save the penalty because he'd been sent off. So it was Will Dennis who saved the penalty. So anyway,
I heard that, but I'm not like you. I don't rip the piss because you make the mistake.
No, but I'm happy to go back. I accept everybody makes mistakes. I'm happy to go back and correct my mistakes. That's totally fine.
Yeah,
everybody says, yeah, exactly. You don't, so that's why I pick you up on it. Exactly. We've come to the right conclusion there. Right, let's stick something in the bin then, shall we, producer John?
Get ready to open the big Scottish football trash can. It's in the bin.
I mean, it's overflowing at this stage. The only thing that has not been voted in is Jambo Bear, and it's a public vote every single week. So last week, Martin came on and wanted to put two-legged playoffs in the bin, but will it go in? Lewis says, bottom two should be relegated automatically, with the second to fifth teams in the league below playing a two-legged semi-final and a final at neutral ground for a second promotion, obviously like what they do in England. John, two-legged playoffs, I get them binned. Big day at Hampden, Tynecastle, somewhere big enough, but not too big for the clubs. I reckon it would work for sponsors and it would be on TV as well. Claire, bin the playoffs. Increase the size of the league. Two up, two down. Voila. John says, clearly biased towards the Premiership team. Get rid. Two-legged semi-finals. Premier playoff included with a neutral final. Craig says, second and third in the Championship. Two-legged semi-finals. The winner against 11th and the Premiership at Hampden. The whole thing is set up to benefit the Premiership team under the current setup. Neil Doncaster, I hope you're listening. As the results are in, a drum roll please, producer John. With 74%, two-legged playoffs are going in the bin. Woo! In the bin. Right, so that's another thing in the bin, and let's set up next week's. And this comes from John Smart, a listener to the podcast. Thank you very much for getting in touch. I have a recommendation for the big football bin. All ultras, these casual wannabes, are a joke. Our game north of the border is bad enough without these, quote, terrifying delinquents in unfitting black tracksuits and black hoodies running rampage in playgrounds and terraces of Brechin. I'm sure the Eastern European ultras are quaking in their ex-army issued boots. Please put this joke in the bin and get back to wearing scarves on both wrists. So, John Smart wants ultras put in the bin. What do you think, Ewan Cameron? Very quickly, in one sentence, because we're going to move on.
The ultras at Hearts have been a breath of fresh air, so I would say no.
Okay, that's fine. You can have your say at Big Football Scott on Twitter. We're on Facebook and Instagram as well. And you can get in touch on the YouTube comments below. I think we're going to stick it out on YouTube, John. Are we still going to put it on YouTube? It'll just, you'll not be able to see us this week.
Maybe.
Maybe. Right, okay. Right, maybe. Okay, we'll see about that. And remember, we are obviously still on the radio as well with the Big Saturday Football Show this weekend. Myself, Ewan Cameron, former Hibs and Aberdeen striker Steve Cowan. That is on 4th1 West FM, TFM, MFR and Northland 1 this Saturday from 2 o'clock. And you can listen to Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. It's obviously going to be a massive week, taking your calls from 6pm every single night, and obviously an extended show on Saturday between 12 and 6 o'clock. Okay, let's move on to Scottish football's even greater hardest question. Give me the piano, please. And the question is, what's the connection between Father Dougal Maguire and Hibs, Hamilton, Dundee and Dunfermline? Joke says, is it Ireland? All those clubs were formed to connect Irish immigrants in the area. Good shout. Martino Bear says, is it Guadeloupe?
When?
Father Dougal Maguire, Ardal O'Hanlon, played Jack Mooney in Death in Paradise, filmed in Guadeloupe. Michael Antoine Curie played for all four teams and Guadeloupe at international level. What an answer that is. Now, obviously, I'm in London, so I don't have the actual envelope at this stage, but I can tell you one of those two answers is the correct answer.
Is it? Where's the envelope? Who's got the envelope?
Through the TV studio.
So no. We'll just wait until next week. I will unseal the envelope next week. Do not worry about it. So either Joke or Martino Bear, you are correct. Okay? I'll reveal which one it is when we unseal the envelope next week on the Big Scottish Football Podcast. Right, there we go. So don't bother putting in any more answers, because either Joke or Martino Bear is correct. Let's move on to our favourite part of the show. It is the quiz, ladies and gentlemen. The shootout quiz, where Ewan loses.
No.
Mostly every week. So, Ewan decided to make it some sort of Super Bowl style playoff type thing last week. And because we're in separate studios, I'm in London, Ewan is back in the studio in Scotland. That means that we can't do our usual sort of, like, you know, writing down the answer. So, how are we doing it this week, John? What concoction have you come up with this week?
It's a good question. I think we'll do the penalty shootout, because Ewan had written Star Wars questions for Ewan, and Ewan says he can't do them, and he's going to wait for next week. So I think what we'll do is I'll give you time, and it's when you both got your answer, I'll give a count of three and you both shout out your answer at the same time.
So because we can't be visual today, because we had a Star Wars special for the podcast, we'll do that next week. So John had written out five Star Wars questions for me, so we're going to save that for next week.
So we're doing it how we did it last week, basically.
Yes. Yes, but you just have to shout out your answer. Yeah, so straight penalty shootout, no top bins again, no top bins.
Got you.
We're just going with that, right?
Okay, let's go.
Right, okay, let's go to the first question. Right, here we go, boys. First question for you. Ben Davies joined Rangers from which club? Ben Davies joined Rangers from which club?
Right, I've got my answer, and John, you're obviously here to,
yeah,
to prove it. Whereas, so I think Stephen should go first.
Yeah, let Stephen go first. Your answer.
Can I hold up my answer to you, because you're obviously
Stephen. Let me know when you've got an answer.
I've got an answer.
Stephen, you get to go first. What is your answer?
My answer is Liverpool,
and Ewan has went Liverpool. These are both right. 1-1.
Lovely.
Good start.
Right. Next question. What Scottish Premiership team has a hand on their badge? What Scottish Premiership team has a hand on
got
their
answer.
Badge? Straight away.
What?
Got my answer.
Wait. How have you... He didn't even finish the sentence and you're shouting you've got an answer.
Because I know it. Right, I know
there's
the answer.
A hand on
it's
the
a
badge.
Really, really, really famous.
There's a hand
badge.
On the badge.
Yeah.
Yep. A Premiership club in Scotland.
I know it so much. I'm even going to have a wee drink of water while you sort of stew.
Stephen is having a victory sip already, Ewan. Tell me when you've written something.
Right, okay. There's a hand on a badge in a Scottish Premiership club.
Uh huh.
You can't be falling behind this early, Ewan. I mean, this is embarrassing even by your standards.
Can you just shut up and let me think? Oh, there's a hand on a badge!
Mm-hmm. Come on, Ewan.
It's not
Come
Rangers,
on.
It's not Hearts.
Come on,
it's not
Ewan.
Hibs, it's not Celtic.
Come on, Ewan.
Timer's going, Ewan. You have to write down something quickly.
Write something down.
I've got it.
All right. Okay, right, Stephen, give me your
answer. I'm holding up my answer to John.
The answer is Kilmarnock.
Oh, that's what I've put.
Yes!
Well done, you.
Get in!
Oh! Well, you was in the top six.
2-2.
As in Hearts, Motherwell, Dundee, what do you call them? Rangers.
Oh, shut up, Ewan. Let's go on.
Right, Hibs, okay. Aberdeen, so it was one of them.
Next question for you both. 2-2. Who was the top scorer in League 2 this season?
Oh, piss off.
Piss off. See, these were questions were originally meant for Steven because I had the Star Wars questions and I thought...
Piss off.
I knew you'd been get this, Ewan. There's no chance. Steven, have you got an answer, Steven?
Yeah, I'm fairly confident in this one.
Okay. I've got an answer.
Right, okay.
Go.
Right, oh, you got Ryan's written down something. Okay, okay. Oh, that's the wrong button.
Steven, right, what have you gone for?
I've gone for Blair Henderson.
Blair Henderson. What have you written down there, Ewan? Show me what. Tell me what you've written down. Tell the audience.
Boba Fett.
Blair Henderson is at Spartans, and I think he's had a cracking season. And he's a former Dunfermline player.
One of you might have the answer right, and I don't think it's Boba Fett. Well done, Stephen.
Lovely.
The top goal scorer in League Two.
Yes.
What kind of
question
is that?
He was up
for Player of the Year as well. Right, okay. So it's 3-2 to Stephen. Next question.
Yeah.
How many teams in the SPFL have Athletic in their title? How many teams in the SPFL have Athletic?
All 40 clubs.
42, there is Ewan. Well done.
42, yeah.
You're doing well. So get thinking about that, and our timer starts now.
I need to get this right, don't I?
Yeah.
I know one, definitely.
Shut up!
Have you got an answer, Stephen?
I've got an answer.
Have you written down?
Uh-huh. It's either that or that.
Brilliant.
I've got an answer.
It's either three or four.
Don't tell him that, you. Don't write. Have you written it down?
I've written three or four down.
Right.
You need to pick one, you.
Pick one, because the timer's running out. You've only got the...
Right, I'm going to go with that.
Right, okay.
Right.
Stephen.
My answer...
Mm-hmm.
...is four.
I've put four!
Ewan has...
I had two, three, and four all written
out. So, wait a minute. Let's go through them. Dunfermline Athletic.
Alloa.
Alloa Athletic.
Annan.
Annan Athletic.
And Forfar.
And Forfar Athletic. That's what I've got.
Right. Is it both right?
Get 10!
Four teams in SPFL have Athletic in their name.
Right.
Oh, yes!
4-3, final question. I need Stephen to get this wrong.
Stephen needs to get it wrong.
Chances of that happening are fairly slim.
Stephen, let's wait for the question before you start celebrating, all right?
Okay, right.
Who is the only Scottish player to win the Ballon d'Or?
I've got my answer.
To win the Ballon d'Or.
Tell me not. How have you got it that quick?
I was reading about...
Stephen, you're honest to God. Yes, Slumdog Millionaire in this quiz sometimes.
I was reading about the Ballon d'Or during the week because there's... I noticed,
and
right...
Do you think I've got the right answer? I'm going to lose the quiz.
Oh, you're going to lose
I'm losing it this week.
Because I think it's season 88-89, Peter Shilton finished third in the Ballon d'Or, and he was something like 40-year-old, and he played with Derby County, and I can't remember why I was reading about it, and then obviously I knew anyway.
Peter Shilton won the Ballon d'Or.
No, he finished third in the Ballon d'Or.
Third in that season.
That's mental.
Yeah, in 1989. That's crazy. I was like, how's Peter Shilton finishing third in the Ballon d'Or?
What was the question again?
Who's the only Scottish player to win the Ballon d'Or? Have you written something down?
It doesn't matter.
It's not that.
I've got it right.
Oh, I don't know then. Shut up! Let me try and get it right.
Right, get it.
Let me have a go at this. Because he might be wrong. He might be wrong.
Well, if right, that's the timer. That's a timer.
Right, but he might have got it wrong. So
I know, so
you're, but you're too chan about it. It's putting me off, so I need a wee bit more time.
I wasn't chan about it. I was chan about Peter Shilton.
You're banging about Peter Shilton and within 89 and I read about this last week, strangely, and blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
Because initially...
Get an answer.
I thought it was going to be Dennis Law, but it's clearly no him, unless you've got it wrong and I'm right.
What have you written down?
Dennis Law.
You've written down Dennis Law.
Aye.
Stephen, what's the answer?
The answer's Dennis Law.
Yeah,
it is Dennis Law.
Dennis Law, yeah.
And I've lost it by 5 points to 4.
Yep. Thank you very much.
So see next week when I get the Star Wars questions, the Force is going to be with me. Stephen, I don't think London fucking poisons you.
I don't think you've won a quiz this year.
He's taking off his headphones, so he can't even hear.
Okay. What is it?
I said, I don't think you've won a quiz this year, Ewan.
Oh, shut up. There's still a couple of weeks to go, and it's only...
Outro music, please, John. Oh, yeah, outro music, please. Okay. Here we go. This has been the Big Scottish Football Podcast. A huge thank you all for listening this week. And remember, we should be back on YouTube next week after some technical difficulties. You can find all our previous podcasts on YouTube as well by searching for the Big Scottish Football Podcast and heading to Clyde One SSB on YouTube as well. Make sure you subscribe and you'll get notified when a new episode drops in as well. You can subscribe on all your podcast providers as well. Leave us a big, fat, juicy 5 stars and we'll be back next week with another Big Scottish Football Podcast. Remember, it's a Star Wars special. Apparently, I don't even know what that is, but I think what we can conclude is that Falkirk played in a shite League One. Bye-bye! Bye-bye!